Your Bibles, if you would, with me and go to John chapter number 5, John chapter number 5. And I just want everybody to know that if I preach really long today, it's all Brother Richard's fault because he didn't change the clock back there. And so we're still behind time. So right now, I got all the time in the world. It's 10:35. Amen. Amen. So we'll try to be mindful of that, but making no promises. And if it is that we go long, it's all Brother Richard's fault. Amen. John chapter number 5, it is good to be back home in my church, amen, in my place here. And if you take offense to that, because I think this is my church, this is the Lord's church, amen. But you ought to claim it just like I claim it. If you're a member of the Landmark Baptist Church, you ought to say this is my church, amen. And this is the place that we join ourselves together. And so I'm thankful for all that the Lord does and what he did in Salisbury, but I'm thankful what he's continuing to do here in this place and what he will do if we stay the course until his coming. In John chapter 5, we find the Lord Jesus there, and he's gonna speak to a man who's crippled around a pool. And I just want you today to just see some things that all of us can add to our own Christian lives or take from the perspective of this man. And we ought to be able to try to help ourselves by just putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever taught you that before, but the best thing that I ever learned and tried to be able to grow in leadership is to not make a decision from where I was standing, but when someone was upset, someone was broken, I tried to take my shoes off and put myself in their shoes for a minute and try to look at it from their perspective and why they were upset or why they're broken and why those things, and then try to make a decision after I had weighed everything that they were going through and the things I were going through. You know, if you don't think that's a good leadership policy, Jesus came from heaven and he wrapped himself in human flesh. And the Bible uses terminology that God learned obedience. And even Jesus, who is God and created all things, learned some things because he learned what pain you and I feel when he was in a fleshly body. He understood what it was like and learned what it was like to be tempted in every point as we are, but yet without sin. And so all of us, he didn't do that for himself because God didn't need to experience those things, because God created a race of people, humans, that shouldn't have had to be redeemed. But we thrust ourselves into sin. And then to redeem us back into himself, God slid into our shoes. And then came and lived and did it right. Did it perfect. And then laid a perfect life down to redeem man back into himself. Jesus is in the midst of that as we go in the Apostle John. He's the disciple. He describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I don't know about you, but I hope you feel loved by Jesus. If you're saved here today, you should listen. It's crazy that other people didn't call themselves this, but John loved Jesus. And I'll say this, I don't have a favorite child. Many of you, you may have one or two. If you got an only child, maybe you do got a favorite, okay? All right, but I have five, and I got one in Maryland and one in Florida, girl, and so she's always trying to get me to say she's my favorite instead of my other daughter. And I say, you're my favorite daughter in Florida. And she's like, oh, Dad, you know, because the favorite came out, she thought she had me, you know. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know, the Lord didn't love John any more than he loves us. But the reason he said, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was the one, he decided if he was going to sit anywhere, I'm sitting next to Jesus. And I can tell you who loves Daddy the most when we go to dinner, because they'll fight for the chair next to Daddy. And if somebody else sets their plate there to sit by me, she'll take the plate and move it, because I'm sitting there. And you know, a lot of that love that we're talking about is shown in us reciprocating the love that we have for our Savior. And we see that in the Apostle John. And he describes some things here for us. That's a story that I know you've heard, but I pray that you'll just give me a few minutes. I just want to give a simple truth from the Scripture today that all of us, no matter where our walk is with Jesus Christ, we ought to be able to gain from it today and take it with us. Amen. Let's pray together before we read the Scripture. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I just one more time want to submit myself to you and humble myself beforehand. Just let you know that, God, I know I can't do anything on my own. And so, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would use me as your vessel to take the scripture that you said would not return void. And God, I pray that it would do a work in hearts today. Spirit of God, I pray that you would draw the sinner that's closest to hell to be saved today. Help them not to leave this place and go to hell. Lord, I pray that they would know for sure, because they've accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ as their Savior, they leave saved and on their way to heaven. God, for the backslidden Christian here today, God, I ask you to help them take a step towards yourself, that they would whatever they've tripped and fallen, that they would rise up again and they would follow you. God, I pray for those that, God, are following you, and Lord, help them, I pray, to learn to take these things and add them to their life so we don't stumble and we don't fall. Help us, God, to watch and to do exactly what you've asked us to do from the scripture. In Jesus' name, I ask it, amen. John chapter number 5, we'll read the first 9 verses of the chapter, but the title for you this morning is this: Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? Wilt thou be made whole? When I landed last week, on Saturday, right before I read the scripture here, I walked up and I was picking up my grandson. That's what pawpaws do. They go get their grandkid and take them everywhere that they're with them, all right? And so he wanted to be with me, so I loaded him up. But his daddy was putting an alternator on a old Ford tractor they have on the farm there. And I walked over, and I put a few alternators on some things before. And so we were standing there just jawing and talking about that thing having no power, all right? And I started talking spiritual things with him. And, you know, most of us are the same way. Until Jesus comes in, we have no power to generate power inside ourselves. But when we get saved, he puts an alternator, and again, that's a terrible analogy, isn't it, inside of us, called the Holy Spirit. And that's really what I preached on when I got back, because we had some dead batteries, and if you can go that far back. And so this message is something that's generated from that last time. And so John chapter number 5, I want you to see here, he says, wilt thou be made whole? Do you know that Jesus asked the human race, wilt thou be made whole? You know, every one of us have a God-shaped hole inside of our soul, and we long for something. We may not know what it is, but we long for something to fulfill us. And Jesus is going to say to this man, he says to every sinner, wilt thou be made whole? And today we ought to ask ourselves that. What do you feel like's missing from your life? There's only one person that can take that care of that. Can I tell you this morning, it ain't money, and it ain't a house. It ain't a car. It isn't anything that you may think it is or that you feel like you gotta have. Happiness in your marriage, all these things are not gonna come from something that you can produce, but it's gonna come from Jesus Christ himself and from his word. And if you're looking for it some other place, let me explain to you and tell you, you're not gonna find it there. In the scripture, the Bible says in verse number 1, we find a man who was looking for something, but he didn't really find it there. Look at it in verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water. Whomsoever the first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, we know what happened after that. That boy, when Jesus healed somebody, he made the Pharisees mad because he did it on the Sabbath day. And if you're not careful, you'll read the passage of scripture and miss the miracle because of all the complaining. Do you know what I've noticed about the Christian life? And this is just for everybody that has been saved and has been in church a while. If you're not careful, you'll get caught up in all the complaining instead of the miracles that happen. When you get around people, there's a lot of talk. Amen. In the multitudes of words, there's no lack of sin, the Bible says. And for all of us, you just got to understand, when we get around people, people got problems, and sometimes they'll rub off on you or share them with you, and it'll make you upset. You'll come to church and say, boy, I came to this church and everything was great at the beginning when I didn't know anybody. But the more I got to know people, I found out I was going to church with a bunch of sinners. Well, welcome to the group. You know why most people come to church is because we love Jesus. He's the one who's helped us out of all our problems. He, just like this man, walked up to me one day and said, wilt thou be made whole? And I took him up on his offer. And he saved me. Now listen, I'm just going to try to be simple today and be truthful with you. Jesus comes to this place in a real time period during his earthly ministry, and he walks up on a group of people. Now, I don't know if you picked this out and understand, but there was a multitude of people around this pool. I don't know how Jesus necessarily picks this man out. The only thing that is described here is that this man had been waiting to be made whole for 38 years. I don't know if Jesus just picked him because everybody had been there, knew that that guy had been there the longest. Now, you would think that those people that come up there and they've had to wait a few years would say, listen, it's your turn. You just go ahead. Well, can I just tell you, I've been in the airport enough now that people don't just wait for you in line. I mean, they'll just walk by and say, my plane's about to leave, and they'll just power on everybody. Now, you know how it is. You could say, I don't think so. And we could get all upset about all the things that happened in this life and injustices. Can I just tell you, this man was waiting. He was waiting for a miracle. Can you imagine seeing an angel come down? And now, I don't know how you imagine things, but I try to imagine the Bible. I can't wait till I get that big movie screen in heaven and I actually get to watch it like it really happened. But, you know, when I was a kid and we had them little kiddie pools, that's what I think this is, about a 3-foot deep pool or so, right? We used to walk around the outside of it and we'd get that thing swirling. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's other people, they've got that picture, you know, Michelangelo, the angel coming down, hanging upside down at his feet. The Bible says he troubled the water. Now, troubling just means to touch it and break the top of it. But that's not how I imagine it. I figured that angel's in there like a blender, like, get that thing going. I mean, you know, just, and then everybody's like, whoa, he's here. And then they try to get in. And again, I think I see some things here. And for all of us, you know, this only happened once a year. Aren't you glad that people can't get saved just once a year? You know, there are people that come to church only on Easter and Christmas, and they think that they can only do business with God on special days. There are churches that have special days of the year. You can only get right with God on Ash Wednesday. I'm so glad that my God is open 24/7. I don't even have to wait for Sunday. Anytime that I want to be made whole, I can run to him and he will take care of my needs. This man is here and he's sitting there and he's waiting for that once a year. Now, we don't know if he went home and came back in the time period of the troubling of the water, but we know that he's been waiting 38 years to be healed. He's waiting beside the pool and Jesus walks up and we see here he says, listen. Jesus says, will you be made whole? He says, well, you know what most people do when you ask them if they need to be saved or if they want to accept Jesus as their Savior? They start giving you excuses. Or they give you reasons why they think they're okay. Well, I'd be made whole, but I'm not fast enough. I can't quite get to the water in time. I can't beat anybody else out. Do you know there are people that say, you know, I'd get saved. I'd like to get saved, but I got to clean up first. Huh? Listen, all of us understand that Jesus is the one that's saving. He's doing all the forgiving. He's the one that lived the perfect life. But why do we think we're going to clean ourselves up or be good enough to be saved? You can't be good enough to be saved. You can be bad enough to be saved. And I'm looking at a bunch of people that made that choice. You say, well, how bad do you got to be saved? All you got to do is tell one lie. All you got to do is be born a sinner, a son of Adam. All you got to do is come into this life, and you need redeeming by a holy God. Now, you may think you're a pretty good person. You're in church today. I think you're a pretty good person, too. But that don't save anybody, being a good person. The world's full of good people, but they're not all going to heaven. You know, this man could say, you know, well, if I... He didn't say, you know, I'm in this condition because I've done more bad than I have good. He said, I can't move fast enough to get to this. Can I tell you, listen, he is explaining to all of us exactly what all of us ought to know. He's like, I can't do what I have to be saved. I can't physically do what has to be done for me to be made whole. Listen, I don't care what it is that people have taught you or where you come from, you cannot work your way to heaven. You can't be baptized enough. You can't teach enough Sunday school. You can't do enough good to outweigh your bad. You can't do enough to be on the equaling out of salvation. This man tells us right here, he says, listen, I would be made whole, but I can't get there. Do you know it's a sobering realization for all of us when we realize that we are incapable of saving ourselves? Because we know in that moment we have to have someone else do it for us. This man says, I have no man. I have nobody to help me get there. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you know what? That put a spring in Jesus' step. Because he realizes at that moment, he said, I am that man. Do you know what changed for my life? It wasn't me changing. It was that one day I realized that I was hopeless, lost in my sins, and I could not change my position. But there was a man that came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid my sin debt. And I accepted that man's name and his payment on Calvary for my sin debt. And it changed everything for me. And instead of saying and having an excuse, there's no man to help me, I can say, let me tell you about the man that reached down and pulled me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and changed my world. He gave me a new song to sing. He gave me a new life to live. Listen, if you're here today and you say, I have no man to help me, let me tell you about Jesus. And if he can save this sinner, he can save you. If you're here today and you're saved, we ought to praise God that he reached down from heaven and lifted us up and set our feet upon a rock. You say, well, I'm not that bad. I was born and raised in church. Yeah, but people die and go to hell from church because they don't think they need a man to help them. They think they got it on their own. They think that, listen, if you're here today and you're young enough and you think mom and dad, that daddy is the man that can get you to heaven. I love your daddy if he's sitting in this building, but he ain't enough to get you to heaven. I can tell you about a good man. His name is Rex Parsons. He's my dad. Good moral man. Didn't do everything right, but I mean, if as far as daddies go, he's a pretty good one. But he couldn't get me to heaven. All he could do is show me to the man that led him to Christ. The man that won him and gave him eternal life. The one that went to Calvary and paid his sin debt. Can I tell you, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Do you know what you are a part of? This old world that's lost and on its way to hell. Can I tell you, he didn't just stop there. He says, I have no one to help me. I'm not fast enough and I have no one to help me. And Jesus says, I can do it. Now, he doesn't go through the motions of telling him everything. He realizes the man has a desire to be made whole. Let me ask you this. Do you have a desire to be made whole? There's three groups of people in the auditorium this morning. There are people lost and on their way to hell. And you desperately need help from Jesus to be saved. There are Christians in the building today who are backslidden and away from God. You are saved and on your way to heaven, but you are stuck in your besetting sins. And you don't have a way out without trusting in Jesus and getting a hand up out of your sin. You desperately need to be made whole as well. How about the third group of people? They're the ones that are sitting in here and think they got nothing. I don't need anything. I've been made whole. I'm not backslidden in my sin. I'm okay right where I am. Listen, that's a dangerous place to be in, because that's a slippery slope. Do you know most people that think they're okay and that they don't need Jesus to keep a hand on them? A hand up or a helping hand to go forward? Think they're okay? Listen, I don't know about you, but all three of those group of people need to run to Jesus this morning. We need to run to him and say, God, don't let me be confident in where I stand. Thank God I'm not backslidden today, but that I'm standing on the solid rock, but Lord, don't let me slip. I'm not holding on to him. He is holding on to me. You say, preacher, what did he say? Look at what he says. He looks down at the impotent man, the man who can't make his way into the water. We don't know if he's blind. He may have had all these problems and be the one that Jesus chose. But he says, look at what he says here. He says, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in verse 6. Verse 7, he says, and the impotent man. He can't run. He can't move. He can't go. His legs are not got power. He says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Now listen, folks, I don't know. Jesus is not looking to put you in the pool. He's looking to put you in the family. He's looking to get you into the fold. He's looking to take you from lost to being saved. He's looking for you to go from death unto life. This man identified it with the pool, but he says, while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, look at what he says, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. I want you to see these three things, and I'll be done. I want you to get this. He says, rise. Do you know what the word rise, it means that I'm from a laying or seated position, I need to go to a standing position. When what the Bible describes as faith in Jesus Christ means I am firmly standing. I stand in this belief that Jesus is the Son of God, who came from heaven, lived a perfect life, laid his life down for me, and then was dead. I mean, laid his life down. Dead for 3 days, dead. And then rose again under his own power to defeat death and hell, and is seated today at the right hand of the Father. Do you know what rise means? It means rise and stand in faith. Does your faith stand in Jesus Christ today? If you're lost and on your way to hell, it's because you haven't put your faith. You didn't rise and stand in the faith of Jesus Christ. Do you know, I remember the day that I really got saved. It's when I realized I needed Jesus more than I needed anything else. It may not be like you. You may be in the building today, and this is the first time you heard that. But that wasn't how it was for me. I had heard that over and over and over again. And I realized that I wasn't whole, and I wanted to be made whole. And I realized the only person that could do that was Jesus Christ. And I put my faith and trust in him. I came down, and I'm talking holy, put my faith in him. And I remember feeling like, you know how everybody says it felt like a ton of bricks fell off of me. My sin was rolled away, I felt like I rose to stand in faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, maybe you're here and you've done that before. Well, maybe you need to rise back up from falling down into Christian faith. You say, preacher, I've not always been faithful to church. Well, rise up and let God help you with that. Maybe you say, I've not always been faithful in service, then rise back to the place that you used to be and get back into the work of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He's saying rise. Listen, you know, every one of us, the Bible says that righteous man falleth 7 times and rises up again. For all of us, we need to be reminded that Jesus is the one that can lift us back up when we've fallen. Not just in our original sin, not just in our sin that we've committed ourselves, but also after we're saved. The Bible is still true in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know where you are today, but there are so many folks that have gotten saved, and somewhere along the way, they got tripped up. They've fallen. fallen back. They're not what they ought to be for Jesus Christ, but they've got a Savior who still loves them. And he says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He's still working on me, and he can still work on you if you will put your hands, yourself in the hands of the potter and rise again to let him work on you today. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He says, take up thy bed. What are you laying around for? Rise up, stand in faith, and take up your bed. There's two things I when I saw that, take up thy bed. You don't need to be laying around this old pool anymore. I've made you whole. This ain't the place for us to be. When I got saved, I realized that this old world wasn't my home. I'm not making this my bed, and where I'm going to lie in, I'm going to move on for Jesus Christ. Some of us need to stop trying to put down roots and roots and roots here and to realize that there's a place in heaven. That mission gauge is all about roots in a different place. It's not trying to heap up riches for ourselves. We just had to restore a thon, and we gave to the eternal purpose of the radio station being on 24/7. And you say, preacher, we know that. You preached about it. Yeah, well, take up your bed again. Don't pitch your tent in Sodom. Pitch it towards the Lord. Take up your bed away from the area where the sick and the whole, listen, and put it towards Jesus. He says, take up your bed and walk. You say, well, what do you get from walk? Walk in his word. Walk in his way. I see movement. Once a man was stationary. You say, I'm lost in my sins. What should I do? If I was you today, I'd get saved. I'd come to Jesus and accept him as my Savior, and then I would take up my bed. All those places that you used to go, I wouldn't go there anymore. I wouldn't leave my bed in that place. Listen, the things I used to do, I wouldn't do them anymore. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying take up your bed and move on. Well, what am I supposed to do? Why don't you walk in the Bible? Walk yourself in the church when the doors are open and be around God's people, because now you're not what you used to be. Now you're one of us if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Walk in his way. If I got saved, I'd get in that baptismal tank. You say, well, I've already had a bath. The first commandment God gives us as a brand new Christian is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It sounds like a walk to me. I'd walk myself up in there, and I'd get baptized. Why? Not for me, but for the one who saved me. Why do you think this man jumped up? He could have jumped up, and he didn't know what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. And listen, if I was him, I wouldn't have wanted to take that bed anywhere with me. I'd have wanted to run and tell everybody about what just happened to me. But listen, if the one who just made me whole told me to take my bed up and to walk, I sure wouldn't run. I'd take the bed up, and somebody say, what are you doing? Listen, it's exactly what happened. The Pharisees on the Sabbath day say, what are you doing carrying that bed? There, listen, the one who made me whole commanded me to take up this bed and walk. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care nothing about this bed. I don't think I'll be laying down for about 2 years, because I've been laying down for 38. I'm about to run and jump. And the reason I didn't blow by you, friend, is because the one who made me whole told me to take up my bed and walk. You say, preacher, why you do what you're doing? Because God commanded me to be a witness of him. What a shame it would be if the one who made me whole, I wouldn't listen to the way he told me to live, to take up my bed. You say, preacher, why are you in Florida today? I'm in Florida because I took up my bed and I followed Jesus. He told me to walk. I don't get to choose where I live anymore. Listen, the one who saved me, I gave him my all, and he directs my path. You say, preacher, what should I do? I don't know what God wants you to do today other than this. If you're backslidden, you know what he desperately wants? He wants to be closer to you than he is today. He wants you to come home and be close to him. He wants to have fellowship with you like you used to have with him when you first got saved, maybe when you were serving him at a high level. You say, preacher, why does he want that? I started the whole thing off. Can I tell you today, Jesus loves you. This book is written by the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I'm sure he stood there that day and the Holy Spirit had him pen down this experience, because he saw Jesus walk around a multitude of people that were all around that pool and him stop at this man and say, sir, Wilt thou be made whole? Let me ask you today, Christian, will you be made whole from whatever it is that's holding you back from serving God? If you're here today and you came to church and you were looking for something, can I tell you that something is Jesus? And when we get ready to have the invitation, would you do what I did, what so many people in the building did? We didn't sit in our seat and wonder what we should do. Rise up from the place that you're seated and make your way to the front, and let us take a Bible and show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Jesus I've been preaching this whole time. It'll change your life. It changed my life. There's nothing in the world, nothing in the world like watching a sinner who needs a Savior bow their head in their heart and call upon the name of the Lord. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Because again, I remember, you know what it does? It reminds me that I was once that sinner. Can I tell you today, if I could take my shoes off and let you walk in mine and you be saved because you put my shoes on, I would do that today. If I could put your shoes on today and walk myself and walk you down to the front and get saved for you, I would. But that's not how it works. You got to stay in your shoes. And your shoes, listen, what you do while you're in your shoes will determine where you spend eternity. Whether you go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus Christ or whether you go to hell, it's your choice. I just want to remind you again where I started. Jesus came from heaven and put your shoes and my shoes on and paid your way to heaven. The only thing you need to do to be saved is call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus paid for your sin debt and my sin debt. All you got to do is accept him as your Savior. What's heartbreaking to me is some people won't humble themselves. They say, in a crowd like this, you want me to come to the front? I want you to bow your head and your heart and accept Christ as your Savior. That's what I really want. Not for me. It's because I don't want you to go to hell. If you're a Christian, I want you to live the Christian life so that you can be happy, not so that I can be happy. I don't want you to come here so that we have one more person in the auditorium. It's not my goal at all. I want you to be here because this is where God tells us to be. This is the best life anybody could live, to be in church and to be close to the Lord. Say, preacher, I've risen up and I've taken up my bed and I've put it here in the church. Then walk. Take a walk for the Lord. Let me ask you this morning. If you've been made whole, what are you doing with that wholesome life that God gave you? Are you sharing it with others? Are you living that wholesome life for Him? What are you doing with your Christian life? Christian, will you be made whole? Will you go forward in faith for Jesus Christ today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? If you're here this morning, while everyone's head is bowed and eyes are closed, and you'd say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I've never called upon Jesus as my Savior. I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you hold your hand up this morning and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I want to do that this morning. Would anybody anywhere in the building slide their hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip it up? Is there one in this place that say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. Is there one? I don't see any. Would you hold it up higher if you're holding your hand up so I can see it this morning? Nobody's looking around but me and God. All right, I don't see a hand. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless us now. But if you're a Christian, would you step out for the Lord this morning? Take up your bed, move forward for Him. If you're backslidden today, will you make a commitment to God? And God, if you'll help me, I'll follow you. Maybe you need to confess your sins to Him and let Him help you in your life. Dear Jesus, I ask you for the crowd here, Lord, for myself. Lord, help us to do exactly what you want us to do. God, help us not to be held back by our pride. Help us to humble ourselves and do exactly what you've asked us to do. God, there were no hands raised, but without a doubt, there are people in the building that need to be saved. I pray, God, that you would not give them peace until they ask Christ to come into their heart. Help them, Lord, to be made whole today during the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet? The musicians have made their places. They're going to begin to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you need to be saved or you need to do something to just speak to God today, would you make your way to the front? This is an old-fashioned invitation. I invite you to come and be saved.
Just as